their...
Okay. Well, it's so good to see you. And I can't tell you how humbling it is to be asked to be up here. What a beautiful song. Family is where it's at. It's good to see Bob and Shirley and all the Howards. Great to see all of you. It really is. So I got a text this morning from Pastor Curtis. Things are going pretty well. Ginger obviously is accepted into the program. They did have a treatment, and she is not experiencing side effects from that treatment. So that is definitely a prayer answered. So can we please stand? Why did you stand? Who am I to ask you to stand?
You're the judge.
All right. So.
You use the magic word.
Please, yeah. So if we were in a restaurant, let's say your favorite restaurant, and some nutcase like me stood up, and with no more enthusiasm or excitement than, please stand, would you stand? Probably not, so please be seated. So in that situation, why would you not stand? Why is it likely you would not stand? You don't know him. Exactly. Exactly. And it's out of place. It's not normal. So what causes you to so willingly stand for me today? You trust me. Okay. Yes, I've been asked to be here. And you know me to some degree. Some of you more than others, fortunately. So I was at Dolan Springs this morning, and those folks really don't know me at all. So we had to talk about it's important to build that trust. So can we hear the word of God? Well, can we hear it from somebody we don't know? Yeah, we can hear it. Do we trust everything that person is telling us if we don't have that level of trust? Not without comparing it to our life experiences and what our knowledge, what we know. Sure. So how can we build that trust? Get to know each other. Exactly. And where, when we're talking about the Word of God, where do we generally build that level of trust with the person up here, usually the pastor? Where? In church. Exactly. Exactly. So our today's message, I'm going to try to illustrate just the tip of the iceberg as to why we go to church. So why do we go to church? And if you have your Bibles and feel like turning to Hebrews, we're going to be in chapter 10. So I know I'm likely preaching to the choir, as they say, because you folks are here. You're already in church. You probably have a pretty good idea of why we go to church. But how can we explain it to others who just aren't motivated to get out of bed on Sunday mornings and go to church? So let's explain some of those things. So first of all, let's take a moment to define what church is. In Matthew's, now you've all heard me talk before, and you know when I went to seminary, I was assigned Matthew. And so that's kind of my go-to book, okay? The Gospel of Matthew and I get along very well. So you can't find this in other parts, but let's see what Matthew has to tell us in chapter 18:20. You don't have to turn there. He tells us, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. That's what we call church. It doesn't have to be this building. Doesn't have to be a building at all. When Christians come together, that's what we call church. So why go to church? Well, in doing my research, I came up with a list of the top 10 reasons why we go to church. And I thought, this is so cool, my work is done. So let's review what I found. Number 10, they serve quality grape juice at communion. They sing songs that I like. Which, by the way, that first song you did today, I really like that. That was nice. There are plenty of single people to choose from. The pastor is cute and he has a good sense of humor. They have great potlucks, and we do. To catch up on the latest gossip. The worship leader is awesome. They don't hammer us about tithing. The pastor is a friend of mine. And they have late morning services so I can sleep in. Okay, these are all valid reasons, but they kind of missed the mark. They missed the point. So, okay, my work wasn't done. So when I was growing up, Sundays were very special to me. On Sunday afternoons, we would gather with family, usually at my grandparents', and it was a good time for everyone. My grandparents liked having family around, but they especially enjoyed the grandchildren. My sisters and cousins and I would talk and play, and we'd really get to know one another on those days. These times meant a lot to me because of how my grandparents always made each one of us feel special. As I was putting together today's message, I was thinking about those times at my grandparents'. Now, as an adult, I realized the significance of those gatherings and how it influenced my development and what it meant to my grandparents. It suddenly dawned on me that the reasons those Sundays are so special to me as a child are the same reasons why we go to church. I believe asking the question, why go to church, we can find plenty of answers, but I've kind of grouped them into three categories. In the first category, I believe we should go to church for God. If you have your Bibles open to Hebrews, let's go to chapter 10, verse 22. And here we read, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed in pure water." Kind of hard to do that at home when you're sleeping in on Sunday, isn't it? One of the main reasons we go to church is for God. We need to take time from our busy lives and make time for God. It is at church that we have a chance to lay aside all the problems of our week and focus on spending time with God. It is in church we're able to easily enter into His presence. Or as the writer of Hebrews said, we draw near to God. Earlier, I spoke about Sunday afternoons spending time with grandparents. My parents knew how much they wanted to see their grandkids, and we really loved going to visit them as well. Sunday mornings at church is our time to look forward to visiting with God, a God who loves to visit with us. We can visit God anytime during the week, and we should often. But on Sunday morning, we put aside special time just for Him, just for our relationship. One of the foundations of this church is worship. Worship is when we have a chance to be in God's presence. It's during worship that we spend time with God to talk to Him, to listen to Him. Worship is more than just singing praise songs to God. We sing songs to prepare our minds for our time together with God. During our time of singing, we can put aside our worries and problems of everyday life and get ready to meet God and let Him work in our lives. Our worship continues as we pray, each for others' needs, to take communion together. We spend time listening to God's Word as we try to hear what He has to say to each of us, living our lives in a manner pleasing to God, helpful to others, and that matures us as Christians. So we go to church for God, but we also go to church for others. When I was at my grandparents' house on Sunday afternoons when I was younger, I would get a chance to hang out with my cousins. We would spend time talking with each other and keeping each other up to what was happening in our lives. We would play, talk, and just in general have a great time. When people come together to share their lives with one another, we call it fellowship. We come together in God's presence to worship together, but we also come together to challenge each other to grow and to hold each other accountable in living out our faith in everyday life. We read in Hebrews, now we're at verse 23, chapter 10, 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." It is in fellowship that we not only get to share our friendship together, but we share our faith with each other in order to build each other up. It is in fellowship that we remind each other that we are people called together by God to live life together for God. We come together so that we can encourage each other in the promise that God has made in our lives. When one of us begins to doubt what God has promised, the rest of us are there to lend them strength and encourage them to keep on believing. When one of us falls, the others are there to remind us that God loves us unconditionally. When we look at fellowship as being an important part of church, we realize that not only is church there for others, but it is also there for the individual. So we go to church for ourselves. This is the third group. In going to my grandparents' house, it was good to see them and see the smiles on their faces as they watched our family gather around them. It was also good to spend time with my cousins as we lived life together and shared with one another. But one reason why I love going to my grandparents' house is because it made me feel special and gave me a sense of belonging. We should feel the same way about attending church. It is in church that we are reminded that God loves us unconditionally. In fellowship, we are supporting each other, but at the same time, we receive support from others. We find that others are there for us as well as we are for them. The writer of Hebrews tells us, in chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Yeah, we spur each other on, but each of us is also spurred on by others. We challenge each other to love more completely and to do good deeds for the benefit of others. These are only part of what church is about. Church is also about helping each person find their sense of purpose in God's plan in our lives. It is in fellowship with others that we can be shown the areas we need to grow. It is also the same fellowship that we can hear direction from others. And it is in fellowship that we are reminded of the spiritual truths that are important to our spiritual growth. We encourage each other and remind each other of spiritual truth and how special we are to God. But mostly, it's through hearing God's Word, read aloud and explained to us, when we really get a good sense of what these truths are and how they apply to our lives. Most people think that this only comes from the pulpit. But each of us are given insight to God's Word as His Holy Spirit reveals it to each of us. If God gives someone an insight, they should share it with others, that each of us are able to grow from the knowledge and wisdom that God has given to one person. It is through worship, fellowship, and biblical teaching that we focus on application, that we discover the truth that church is for God, church is for others, and it is for each of us individually. So, application. Perhaps I can illustrate it this way. As Baptists, one of our great traditions is that we tend to have potlucks. Okay, maybe we have a lot of potlucks. Consider the potluck. Everyone brings a different dish. And the result is a smorgasbord of flavor and taste. After we eat, we share. We take a nap. What do we always do? We ask to share recipes. How did you make it? How did you do that? What's in it? Much is the same when we meet in church. We all bring something to the table. We share and then we ask, how did you do it? What carried you through it? Can you tell me what went into it? Can we survive without going to church? Maybe, depending on your definition of survive. But we wouldn't grow our spiritual knowledge to an appreciable level. We would be missing opportunities to visit with one another, and we would miss out on connecting with God and experiencing what God has planned for us. Without church, we would merely rely on our own interpretation of what we read in the Bible. That is, if we read the Bible at all. You know, if you come to church, you will hear the Bible, and you might have an aha moment of clarity in something that has been explained to you that would have otherwise been vague. So, is it worth getting up on Sundays to go to church? It's only a question you can answer. And like I said, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but we need to be able to share with others on the importance and the benefits, the personal benefits of attending church. God loves to see us anytime, especially when we are with His other children in His house. God waits patiently for us to make time for Him, but He loves us anyway, either way. But as with every relationship, if time is not spent together, the relationship suffers. So how important is your relationship with God? So we've probably all heard different excuses why people don't go to church. So I put a few of them together. Tell me if you don't agree with some of them. Okay? I'm always out late on Saturday nights. Sunday's my only day to sleep in. I'm too young to worry about spiritual matters. I'm too old to change now. There's too many hypocrites in church. I've heard that one. I'm sorry to say. The service is too early or too late. Or it's there. I watch church on television. Or I listen to it on the radio. Now, I'm not saying you can't supplement your spiritual path with that. But it's not fellowship. I don't have the right clothes to wear. I didn't realize we had a standard. But my kids have sports on Sunday. I don't like the grape juice. They should serve wine. I'm too busy. I'll go after I get my life in order. Whenever that is. Here's one that I'm hesitant to say because I'm afraid I'm going to get struck with lightning. I work 6 days, so the seventh day belongs to me. Well, that's almost biblical. It belongs to somebody, but not me. And here's one. My wife goes and she can tell me everything I need to know. Wow. Everything she thinks you need to know. So, I have a plan. I was thinking, I can fix all of these excuses. So, we're going to have a no excuse Sunday. Okay? All right. So, we're going to place cots out in the foyer for people that need to sleep in. There's going to be a special section of lounge chairs for people that say that our seats are not comfortable. Eye drops will be available for those who stayed out too late last night. We'll have steel helmets available for those who say the roof would cave in if I went to church. Blankets will be furnished to those who think church is too cold, and fans for those who think it's too warm. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites. Your relatives and friends will be invited and will be here so that you can go to church because you don't have to fix dinner. We will distribute stamp out stewardship buttons for everybody who thinks church always is asking for money. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who prefer to seek God in nature. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. I love this one. We'll decorate the church in Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have only seen church that way. We will provide hearing aids for those who they say the preacher doesn't speak up. Or we'll give out cotton balls for those who say the preacher's too loud. So we hope to see you at our No Excuse Sunday. Really, though, we should go to church because it's something that's good for God, good for others, and good for ourselves. One last verse we'll take a look at is Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Irma Bombeck wrote about the important things of life. She wrote that we should go ahead and burn those decorative candles. Spend time playing on the floor with your children and grandchildren. Open up that bottle of wine you've been saving for a special occasion and drink it. We need to do these things while we still can. We don't want to come to the end of our lives with regrets over missing out on the little moments that make life great. So this causes me to think, I would hate to come to the end of my life and realize that I did not have enough time for God, and I never made it to church as often as I should, where I could spend time in worship with God, time in fellowship with other travelers of the Christian beliefs, and time being fed by God's word to nourish my spiritual journey. Let us make it a priority to continue to meet each week for worship, fellowship, and solid biblical teaching with practical applications so that we can be equipped to reach out to others and to support each other as we continue to grow in our faith. Now, if anything I've said today resonates with you at all, please share it with someone you know, a family member, or someone you meet, in hopes of encouraging them to come and fellowship with us. We now have some tools to do just that. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your voice has come through me to give your word, to talk about why we should come together in fellowship in your house. Lord, it's so important to the full nourishment of our spiritual life, Lord, and we'd love to spend time with you. So continue to watch us, watch over us, and guide us. You've brought us here on this beautiful, special day. For that, we are eternally grateful.